One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're coming at you from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub right here on Western Avenue. Brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox's Pizza. We'll be having some of that later. And Flood Brothers Disposal and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. We do the show every Saturday night, WSBC, 1240 a.m. from 7 to 8. But you always catch the podcast over at HibernianRadio.org, which is usually up by Sunday. But on Wednesday nights, we're here live. We got a live audience now. Yeah. And they're all here to see their old pal, Mike Ryan, retired Chicago Police Department watch commander. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here. Should I do my radio voice?
Yeah,
too?
Do it exactly.
All right. All right.
Very good. All right, so... Grew up in Ethelreda.
First couple of years grammar school there.
What grade were you when you moved away from there?
Second grade.
Oh, okay. And then moved to Cadgetons.
Moved to St. Cadgetons.
Yeah.
1969.
Okay. I know why you moved.
Brand new house was built on 110th in California, and we decided
where
to
did you
there.
Guys live in Ethelreda, do you know?
8855 South Bishop, right on the corner, Rock Island, right by the house.
Good friend of mine at 88th and Hermitage, Jack Whalen. I don't know if you knew the Whalens. They were old pals of mine. But that was he was long gone. And well, no, even 60, he was there through the early 70s. And then you went to Leo.
Went to Leo High School.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I did. I had an older sister, two younger brothers, and a younger sister who is here today, Janine.
Oh, yeah. Janine is here. Any other cops in the family?
My whole family's cops.
I'm really?
Fourth generation Chicago
That's
police.
Terrific. Was yeah, so your dad was a cop?
My dad was a cop.
Yeah.
And my grandfather and my great-grandfather. And my cousin, who's sitting right here, he was
your
a
cousin's
former
cousin's
been
guest. On the show, yeah.
He's been on the show.
A couple of times, actually.
And I have two nephews on the job, and I had a brother on the job, and a brother-in-law still on the job.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
So now, was your grandfather from Ireland, or was there any, what's the Irish connection?
Great-grandfather.
No kidding. Where in Ireland, do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Cork.
Oh, he was a Cork man. All right, the Rebel County. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, we did a show last week about the history of the Irish in the Chicago Police Department, so you're fitting right into the whole thing. So you went to Leo, then you went to Lewis College, IIT. How old were you when you said, I'm taking the cop test?
I was, I took it once when I was 20.
Yeah.
Or however old I was supposed to be.
Yeah, 20, yeah.
And that job came along while I was at the Board of Trade, and I decided to not take it, the job.
Oh, yeah.
And I took the test again in 1988.
Ah.
And it so happened I left the Board of Trade, and I was available, and I went on in March of 90.
Terrific. What were you doing at the Board of Trade? Were you a clerk or something?
I started out as a runner.
Yeah, I was a runner.
And then I was an arbitrage clerk in the 30-year bond pit.
Wow.
And then I was a trader clerk in the 10-year treasury.
Oh, pit. Yeah, yeah. Huh. Did you make a lot of money there?
No.
That's why it became went out of police force. Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, yeah. Gotta get a real
I
job.
I gave it a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. I could never figure out any of that stuff. So you started your career in 1990.
I did.
Yeah, as a patrolman.
Yes.
Where was it? What's that, the 21st District?
21st District, 29th and Prairie. It's no longer a district anymore.
No,
they got rid of that.
Yeah.
I believe my cousin started there too, and
Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was probably the best time I had on the job.
What's
the,
is there an age difference between you and him? You look much younger.
Yeah. Yeah. Two years. Age
well, that's
difference.
All? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Look, you got the map of Ireland on your face. Look at you. Okay. Oh, you know what? I should also mention Tommy Frawley. You know, because we put up on Facebook that we're, who's going to be on the show tonight and everything. Tom Frawley said, make sure you say hello to Ears for me. Ears.
That was my high nickname I had in high school, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why Ears?
Because they were so small and cute that people just loved my ears, so.
Okay. Anyway, he thought you were from CK. That I think is funny. I thought, no, Cajuns. Anyway, he says to say hi. Tom Frawley, good guy.
Good man.
So were you and Kevin in the and at the same time in the police force?
No, actually, he went on first.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Well, I was making my millions. And,
yeah.
Once I did that, I said, hey, I'll go on the police department. This should be a kick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you guys, you did the, 4 years as a patrolman?
Yeah.
And then what? Oh, you went. You became a watch commander then, right?
No, 4 years as a sergeant.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right, sergeant, yeah.
Where
August 1994 to November
1994. Right, I worked in the 8th District.
Where's the 8th District?
It's at 63rd and, well, it was at 63rd in St. Louis before, but
okay.
I don't know where. They moved it on to, what, Kedzie or Pulaski. And then after a year and a half there, I got lucky and I went as a sergeant to Special Operations Section.
Oh, what's Special Operations?
Well, I really can't talk about
okay.
it. Okay.
Special.
No, it's it was we would work high crime areas as requested by district commanders that were having a problem in an area, and we go in there with a you know a team would go in there a sergeant and 10 or 12, and would go in there and we would set things right, and then we'd go fix another problem somewhere
cool.
else.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's like you guys, we're having a problem, we send these guys in and
right.
clean it up. That's
right.
Cool.
We were the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we, like, during that time, we also had two of the last three, the last two Bulls celebrations, which we were, you know, we were response for that.
Yeah.
And we had a Democratic convention.
Holy cow.
And so there was a lot of big events that SOS always played a role in dealing with the problems.
Yeah.
Special operations.
Yeah.
But the special events is, you know, when we went in and took care of business.
Well, that's, you know, there's going to be trouble when there's a Bulls championship and stuff
right.
like that. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It was, you know, when I was in SOS, it was our fourth one. So we kind of had a clue at that.
Yeah, you got to figure it out.
Fifth one, actually.
Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting because it's not the same thing every day, right?
No, it definitely is not.
Yeah.
It definitely is not. But there are a lot of highly motivated police officers working that unit. And
how many guys in that unit?
I would say 300. I was going to say 250,
wow.
but 300.
Yeah. Oh, here's a guy bringing a present for you.
Well, yes, thank you, laddie.
Hey, we tell
how it's terrible first.
All right, so but the interesting thing to me is that you spent 9 years as the watch commander of 22.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild because that's right here in the neighborhood.
That's
and that's the neighborhood you grew
I
up
got,
in.
I got to watch out for my
your pals?
Neighborhood and
yeah.
my you know family and friends and
yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I had a really good time. The time I spent in 22.
You did it for 4 years and then were off for a while and then you came back and did four.
Well, five. I was the tech lieutenant for the years in between.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what did that involve? Is that still over 111th Street?
Yeah. Right next to Morgan Park High School.
Okay. Yeah.
1900 West Monterey.
Yeah. So you're right there in your own hood. You could probably walk to work practically.
I could have.
Yeah, but you didn't.
I know I didn't.
Yeah, okay.
I would say I could ride a bike. I don't need a car anymore.
Yeah.
Everything's right here.
Oh, yeah. Was there a lot of crime in the 22nd District? What's the deal?
Well, yeah, on the east end of the district,
okay,
we had gang issues. And
yeah.
And then on the West End, we had like burglary, property crime issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, car thefts was always a big thing. Lock your cars.
Yeah.
You know, when people come in out the next morning and find that, you know, their $3.50 and their Ray-Bans are gone.
But now the big thing is
carjackings. We had that for a little bit, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a group of high school students.
Oh, really?
That we knew who they were.
I mean, they got guns.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And we knew who they were, and there was the detective division was sitting on them. Actually, got them jumping into one of the cars they stole, driving down the street. They started to follow them, and then they were driving on sidewalks and stuff. So they got to let them go because, you know, Mama could be coming out to buy, go to the grocery store, and she'd get clipped by these idiots driving like fools. So
that's scary.
It is scary.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on now.
That's terrible. And there's a lot of it going on in this district, right, in 22?
Not as much as there is other places. Not any more than other places.
You know what? I live in Forest Park. They plugged a guy Saturday morning right across from my building. Right, it's the end of the Green Line at Harlem there.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't get reported. I mean, we saw the guy, we saw the dead body and everything, but not on the news, nothing, you know, it's hush hush.
There's something else to that story, I have to believe.
Oh, I'm sure there is. But it's creepy. But thank God it wasn't me. And I'm thinking about, should I buy a gun? What the heck?
Why not?
Should I? Okay.
Well, of course.
It's my Second Amendment right, I believe.
It is. Get comfortable with it before you go outside with it. Okay.
Blow my wiener off, something like that, put it in my pocket. Okay. That's what scares me. Okay. So what about the bars on Western Avenue? That's part of your beat then.
Well, yeah, I was, I think, at the right age when the Southside Irish Parade started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, just under 21, but, you know, it was quite the lively time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was the tack lieutenant in 22 when it got to its absolute worst.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was a dead set against that parade at that time because I saw everything that was going on that people, you know, just walked from their house up here didn't see. It was pretty bad, and I think
they were coming all the way from the north side on the Rock Island and everything, hammered at 8 o'clock
in
the morning.
And they have no connection to the neighborhood, so they don't care how they treat the neighborhood.
Yeah,
and it was I think, you know, it got to the point where it had to stop.
Yeah,
and they did stop it for a few years, and they brought it back. It's been nice so far.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I missed it. I can tell you that. Well, last year I missed it, and this year, you know,
right,
but. When they did close it, I remember they had a big event at the Beverly Woods, and I gave a eulogy for the parade. You know, shtick.
It didn't stick.
No, yeah, thank God. But everybody was heartbroken and everything. But you were right; it was nuts.
It had to stop.
Yeah. Tell you a funny story. I was in the parade a couple of years ago with Jeannie Ives. You know who she is?
Yeah, the woman that
she was running for governor.
Right.
Very conservative, which I am. And we had her in the Hinky Dink. You remember that joint?
Yes.
Over, and the guy at the Hinky Dink was just terrific and gave us sandwiches and everything. And some of the guys in the Hinky Dink were mad that she came there and they accused her of being non-union or whatever. And they gave her some lip, okay? And her husband was there, who was a great big army guy. And it was wild because there was going to be a confrontation between the candidate's husband and these mutts on 111th Street. And it didn't happen, but it almost did. And I was half in the bag at that point. And I'm thinking, boy, this would be great. And Sneed's column, you know, what an idiot I am. So I took an Uber home and left her a message. And later, around 9, 10 o'clock at night, she calls me back. By now, I'm sober. And I went, oh, my God, what did I do? I can't do this. So I didn't take the call. And then the next day they went, don't you dare talk to her. Are you crazy? I went, I am crazy. But anyway, but the guy, Hinky Dink, was just a terrific guy. And that's my last time I misbehaved at the parade.
There's still time for you.
Oh, yeah. I used to hang out in Cannes where my friend Jackie Castle was the bartender there.
Set my up dad shopping. Coached him.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now tell me about your dad. He was on the force, too, huh?
He was on the force. He, unfortunately, died very young.
Oh, wow.
Just after his 39th birthday.
Holy
of a massive
cow.
Heart attack. Yeah.
39?
He was my football coach at
How
the time.
How old were you?
I was in eighth grade.
Wow.
So I was 12.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he coached prior to that at CK.
Yeah.
And then he came to Cadgetton's, and they had this, a coach here that wasn't up with, the way the game was moving, and him and two other younger guys. I guess they were young at the time. Jim Corbett and Joe Gorman.
Sure.
They took over.
Now, Joe's a policeman, right?
Joe is a retired policeman,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, he won't.
His son is also a retired policeman.
Oh, okay.
Jim was a policeman.
Jimmy Gorman was a fire department guy.
That's his dad that my
he's
dad coached
with. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're everywhere. Gorman.
Yeah, yeah, well, we're all connected.
Now, somebody gave Jimmy Corbett's name, too, as a potential guest. That's all.
Oh, he'd be a great guest.
Would he?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, okay. He ended up being the, what do they call him, the first assistant or... for the fire commissioner. So he was the next guy under Orozco.
Okay.
And he was a policeman. He started out as a policeman, but then he had a mild stroke. And, and he said, I want to wear those big boots.
He wanted to make money on his back, sleeping.
Sorry, Tom, Pat, Jim.
We got a lot of firemen here.
Yeah, Tommy.
All right, any great stories that stand out in your memory of your encounters, particularly in the 22nd District?
Now, in the 22nd District, I was inside most of the time.
Ooh.
I mean, we had some horrible things happen. One of the worst scenes I ever saw when I was tackle time was on 110th and Bell when there was a triple homicide,
110th and Bell, wow.
Yeah. And, three women, a mother and her two daughters were...
Murdered?
They were mauled by an animal. He ended up. I caught him later that night.
The dog? Was it a dog?
No.
Oh, an animal. I get. Yeah.
What else could you be if you could do that
exactly.
to another human?
Oh, yeah. So you caught him later that night.
He ended up going down for three homicides. But that was just that haunted me for a while that I wasn't sleeping and I've seen other bad things, but that one in particular, because I had a daughter couple of years younger than the youngest victim in that. So, that was probably, and it's two doors down from where my cousin and my aunt and uncle lived, it just really hits home, I guess, when it's that close. 22 was just so enjoyable for me to work there because I worked with an older watch. They were guys that were stopping there on their way out the door. And some were there for, 6-7 years. But, that's where they're. And they all were so easy to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not even say I supervised them. They knew what the program was. They went out and, chipped in a little bit and did what they had to do. They always backed each other up, went on all their calls. And it was a pleasure to work with those guys because, coming from a police family, and you see, they were all older than me.
Yeah.
See these guys still coming to work and doing it every day. It just really, it's very encouraging to know that, hopefully that continues.
Yeah.
I saw that level of attention starting to slide down.
Sure.
And
now how many, you were 28 years in the job?
Yeah, 28 and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. And I saw it sliding down and you know what? I felt like I was always good at motivating, getting people to go out there and pitch in, and not beating anybody up or anything.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where the things that are going on, I was seeing myself having a hard time to try to motivate them.
Yeah.
Because beyond me, it didn't seem like that they would have very much support.
Yeah.
If they made an honest
the guys upstairs.
Well, if they made an honest mistake or I mean, you know, everybody wants, you know, you can see, you read the papers. They want to, you know, they want a policeman's job, or when he makes an honest mistake.
Yeah.
It's a horrible, horrible situation. My hat's off. You know, these policemen and firefighters that go out there every day.
Well, that's why we do this show.
And
it's nuts.
And they're still doing it.
Yeah.
So God bless them, and you know, my heart goes out to them, and I, you know, just get home at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons we started out doing this show dedicated to Irish first responders and police, firefighters, and paramedics, because we believe they are the modern day equivalent of our ancient mythological Irish warriors, putting their lives on the line every day for us. But then in June, when the crap hit the fan downtown, and you know, the BLM and Antifa and all that crap, the police were just getting pilloried in the papers by the media, right. And we said, well, we got to concentrate on just police for all, which we have done since June. We're starting to sneak a few firemen in back in there, but it's terrible. The whole situation, the whole idea of defund the police is insane as far as I'm concerned. And I'm sure you agree with me.
No, it's rhetoric. They can't do it.
No, it's impossible.
Because they wouldn't want the situation they would be in.
Who could live in a society like
right.
that? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So you avoided a lot of that, though, thank God, right?
And that's one reason why I'm surprised I'm sitting here, Mike, is because I was a supervisor for over 24 years on the police department.
Yeah.
Never once, I challenge anybody to find me quoted in the newspaper ever saying anything to anyone.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see a good percentage in it.
Right, exactly.
No, we don't have three dead here. You might want to check with News Affairs.
Yeah.
And, you know, but because there's a level of trust that I didn't have then.
Yeah.
And now it's even...
Oh, I don't blame
it. It's even scarier.
Yeah.
You know, they want to find fault where none exists.
Right.
And they are, and then they're feigning fault where none exists, and people's careers, their livelihoods or reputations
sure.
are on the line
yeah.
there, and it's just horrible.
And their lives are on the line.
Their lives are
yeah.
on the line on the street, but they shouldn't be after they get in by people that want armchair quarterback them and
exactly.
not know what it is a policeman does
yeah.
and what the rules say he can do under certain circumstances. And then when he's exercising that good judgment and it goes south on him, they want him vilified. They want him crucified.
Yeah.
Indicted, fired, whatever.
The whole thing at the Columbus
statue.
For an
honest mistake.
Remember that? The Columbus statue that last summer? And
yeah.
They're just assaulting the police with
frozen water bottles.
Oh, all kinds of crap. It was just disgusting.
Certainly was.
But you were off the job by then.
I was gone by then.
Oh,
my timing was impeccable.
Yeah. So now you're working at McCormick Place, right?
Well, I've been furloughed at McCormick Place
because
they haven't had a show there since not this past February, but the February before that. So hopefully that, you know, as things start to open up and everything comes back, it's really a tremendous burden on the city not to have all that revenue that is generated by the conventions at McCormick Place, the hotels, the restaurants, you know, the cabs, and all of that.
The economy of this city.
That's the tax revenue alone that the city relies on. And they can. It's been solid up until a pandemic hit. So I can't believe they didn't see it coming.
Did you happen to know Marty Malarkey at the McCormick Place?
You mean the mayor of McCormick
That's
Place?
Right,
do I know Marty Malarkey?
Good friend of ours.
Yes, yes. I know Marty very well.
I saw Marty.
Good man.
He can't even recognize him. He looks like he lost 100
He
pounds.
Did lose. He was, he's
cow.
Looking good, isn't he, for himself?
Yeah. But he's like a lost soul now because he's been furloughed or whatever. And it's
now, you know
what to do.
People
with
used to come up to him and he got to talk to him that way. Well,
sure.
now that they don't have to come up to him, I imagine maybe they're not. I don't know.
Yes. Well,
he's a good man.
He misses the job. I know that.
I'm quite sure he does.
What a character. Marty Malarkey. I'll tell you a funny story about Marty Malarkey. I used to write for the Sun-Times, and So I interviewed him. A lot of what he said was lies. He made up some stories. But he loved it, you know. And Marty loves publicity, and he loves being around politicians and all that crap. So right after that, Sis Daly died, Miss Mayor Daly's mother. And I guess Marty, you know, of course, went to the funeral, the wake. And Marty used to carry the clipping that I wrote about him in his suit coat pocket. And he was showing it to everybody at McCormick Place and everything. So a friend of mine went to the wake and saw Mayor Daly there. And he goes, did you see Marty Malarkey is here? He goes, did I see him? He just gave a press conference at my mother's funeral.
That's funny you should mention that article because, I don't know, my first or second day working there.
Yeah.
You know, I'd park in the A lot, and then I'd walk through the concourse, and of course, at the head of the concourse is
the mayor
sitting on his throne.
Yeah.
And and he goes, you see that over there? Yeah. Hey, here's a little thing that they wrote about me.
Oh, he had it.
It was laminated.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it was laminated. So I said, hey, thanks. And he goes, and I start walking. He goes, hey, I want that back when you're done.
Yeah, you can't take that. Yes. He's probably still got it in his pocket.
He's a riot.
Bless him. So you're just kind of on hold until they open up again.
Well, yeah.
Although, you know, my son Patty's working on the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame, and they used to have that there. They're coming back. They're looking to do it in October, I think.
And I think they're looking to do the auto show. There a couple of the big shows, you know, the restaurant show and used to be the home show.
Yes.
They've canceled for this year, which is terrible. Very unfortunate. And they were later in the summer too. So
yeah. And they canceled it already? That's crazy.
Well, they, you know,
they got to plan something like that 6 months
with
out.
With this guy in the office, in the down in Springfield, sitting in the office,
cause you mean
and he sits because he can't really move.
Yeah.
until he says, it can be open.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They have a lot of planning to do. These shows those two shows take up all of McCormick Place.
Yes.
Every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of planning to do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they don't get the go-ahead that this is going to happen. They have to figure out, okay, we're not going to do it. We're not going to spend all this money planning for it.
And then
or we're
going to
go in a different direction. So, that's been difficult.
Yeah. Well, I want everything back, you know. Anyway, so any funny stories had happened? I'm sure many funny stories.
You know, it's really the stories that I remember are something that I learned. And
tell me what you learned.
Well, like, okay, so, you know, you catch a burglar.
Yeah.
And he's crawling out the window as you walk up and you pull him out. Now it's like, all right, is there anybody else what you know? Well, you don't believe him.
Yeah.
They go in the window and search the place and there's a door and I open up the door and I go down the stairs and the door closed behind me. Well, now I'm locked in there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Okay, so you never let a door close behind
you. Yes, you learned that.
You know, chasing another burglar down Cermak. He runs into an abandoned warehouse. I think it was a printer shop, you know, 20-foot high ceilings and everything. I don't know what it was. But there's nowhere else to go but in there. I was only a few steps behind him, and so I go in, and I go, and nobody down here. I go up the stairs, and it's, you know, 20-25. Go up the stairs, I'm searching around upstairs, I'm looking, all of a sudden,
it's at night.
Crack! I go right through.
Oh, you fell
through? There's a reason why it was closed.
Oh.
No, I didn't fall all the way through. My leg was hanging down.
Oh. Jeez.
And, you know, so I mean, all the way to the crotch was hanging down on one side, and the stuff is, wood is crackling, and I'm like, I'm going to die here.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
All by yourself.
My partner was, you know, looking around too. not in there at that time. So, so I get up out of there. Where can I step? I mean, I had to throw those underwear away. and And I get out, and, you know, I get out, and I'm sweating. I'm like, oh, my God, terra firma. I'm going to kiss the ground. Yeah. And everybody's, what's going on? I went through the roof, the ceiling up there, blah, blah, this. And he goes, well, we called for the canines. I'm like, okay, I'm not going back in there.
Yeah, release the hounds.
Right. So the canine guy shows up, right, and this is the only way in. And he comes walking up, and it's a left right into the building. He takes a hard right into, like, I don't know if it was a coal chute or what, but it, and it's only 6 feet long, but it's only, it's about this high, and he's in there.
Oh, the
and
guy's
high. Oh, yeah, he's tearing the crap up out of him, you know.
The dog.
So you learn. You say, you know what? We got him in the building. Wait for the dogs.
Yeah, wait for the dogs. Yeah.
You know, so, you know.
You learn. Yeah,
you learn. You learn. You learn. Good. And you know what? They didn't cost me too much, those two lessons, you know.
Thank God.
Yeah. You know. Cost one guy a door, you know, and me my nerve for a little bit.
Of course, they were busting your chops about it.
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah. But that's okay. You know, that is probably the most fun about being a policeman.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure about being a fireman, too, is that, oh, good Lord.
Oh, there's Pat bringing him a drink.
Is that the ball busting.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, and if you can't take it, and they smell that weakness on you, it's going to get worse.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to lay it out there, you got to take it. And I, you know, I had to take it.
Roll with the punches. Yes, that's absolutely our theme song. Yes. Okay. All right. So any other comments about the situation? And this is a very tough time to be on the police.
It certainly is.
We got to pray for them and hope everything works out, but any other comments on that?
Because well, from your point of view, what do you see as the biggest problem for the police? Knock the media out of it.
Well, the media plays a big part of it, I think.
It absolutely does. But take that off the table, and what would you think is? I think right now they're experiencing a crisis of leadership.
Okay. See, you
that,
can say that
I never thought I would see.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we got a couple of great bosses sitting in this room that were out. Yeah. And they understood things, and they understood that there's the expectation of perfection is unreasonable.
Yes.
The only perfect person that we know died on the cross.
Yes.
And and they expect this of policemen.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. And if they turn the heat up enough, our friends in the media, people they shy off of their job at their level of protecting this officer.
They're second guessing.
Because, they're not. They're just, they don't want to be the one that the media comes after next.
Yeah.
So, you know, too many people are being like a flag in the wind, and it's unfortunate.
I'm not going to get into Eddie Johnson or any of that, but.
You know when they say things like, this too shall pass? Well, it did.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, so why did you retire?
I retired, and it was always my plan to retire right around then.
Yeah.
But I was just waiting. You know, I wasn't looking real hard because I really enjoyed my work. I really enjoyed my job.
What's but the last thing you were doing?
I was Watch Commander on Days in 22.
Okay, yeah. Living
the life. I had it down to a science.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful thing.
Right in your own neighborhood and everything. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have commanders there that left me alone to run my watch.
Yeah.
You know, and make my personnel decisions. And it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. We were never the watch that they had to worry about when they went to their CompStat meetings because my old farts.
What are CompStat meetings?
That's the meetings where they review the crime statistics and the activity in the district and all that other crap.
Yeah.
You know, our activity and what we were doing never was an issue in our district. So my hat's off to the officers that went out there every day and got it done. And whatever I could do to help them, to keep them working in that fashion, I was there.
Good for you.
It was a good dynamic we had there, and I really enjoyed it. And I laughed every day. I laughed every day. I mean, there was that ball bus in. I mean, and I had to take it. You know, Like, patrolmen are busting. Yeah, they do. Because I got him yesterday. So, you know, so I really enjoyed it. I mean, yeah. I had fun. I did not mind getting up and going to work every day.
Yeah.
But it was time. I found a job. As soon as they offered me the job, the next day I went in, put my papers in, and I was gone in 30 days.
I'm out
days.
Of here. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was time. The writing on the wall, it was very clear to me the direction it was going in, and that's life. Things change, and they changed all throughout my job, all throughout my time on the job, but it changed to a point where, you know what, I really don't need to make this next change. I think I'll go.
Yeah.
And it was a good move for me.
You went out on top. Yeah. Now let's give a shout out to your wife, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And my
sister, Janine, and her husband, Jim, and my cousin, Amy, and her husband, Tommy.
Oh, good.
And those guys are both firemen. And my cousin, Jennifer, and her husband, Pat, and he's a fireman, too.
He's been on the
show. There's more firemen than policemen here. There's something going on.
Now,
Connie O'Sullivan and Debbie.
What are kids' names?
Michael, Jenna, and Billy.
Okay. All right. Well, we admire you. We salute you. We're very proud of you. Stay well. You'll be safe at McCormick Place. Watch out for Marty Malarkey when he comes back.
Well, right now, I just want to try to keep it in the fairway because that season is upon
us.
That's
right. Okay. Oh yeah, you're the. I won't give you out your email address, but it's a golf reference.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Well, Mike, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having
me. Appreciate you doing this. We'll be right back on Hibernian Radio after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Stick around, everybody. Charlie Houlihan here. And if you're looking to hear more stories of Irish first responders, cops, firefighters, and paramedics, then you're in the right place. Tell your friends to tune in to HibernianRadio.org and tell them Charlie sent you.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Thank you to Mike Ryan. Great interview. What a guy. and for his 28 years of service to our great city of Chicago. So we're having another great here night here at Cork and Carry Irish Pub, 10614 South Western Avenue, brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Carry. Fox's Pizza, we're trying to get him on the phone right now. We're going to have an order of pizza. Flood Brothers and Guinness. Guinness is good for you. Now, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking out Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, or Cork and Carry, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Hooley, who died?" Mary Teresa Lynch, an old friend actually from St. Luke's Parish in River Forest, wife of the late James Michael Lynch. She was a first-generation West Side Irish Catholic woman, a background which guided her life dedicated to family, education, service, and generosity. Mary was a graduate of St. Angelo's grade school on the West Side, Trinity High School, and Clark College. She later went on to receive a master's degree in education from Northern Illinois University. Mary and Jim raised 8 children in the River Forest community and were active members of St. Luke's Parish for over 60 years, where I met her. She was a Eucharistic minister, served on the school board, was in the women's guild and choir. Mary was proud of her Irish heritage and cherished her extended family. Clark College, she received the Distinguished Humanitarian Service Alumni Award. And her most proud accomplishment, though, was always her family, her 8 children, 26 grandchildren, and 11 great-grandchildren. Mary was a loving mother of James, Anne, Mary, Joan, John, who was the dentist and basketball coach for my kids, Daniel, Fran, another dentist. She's a doll, Fran Lynch, and Sheila. So God rest her lovely soul, Mary Teresa Lynch. Gonna miss her. Also, James Seamus Holmes, age 86, of Chicago, formerly of Ballina, Mayo, County Mayo, Ireland. Ballina, beloved husband of the late Maureen Holmes, me, Cafferkey. Seamus was the devoted father to Jimmy Holmes. Dear uncle to many nieces and nephews here and in Ireland. God rest his lovely soul, Seamus Holmes, age 86. And finally, Margaret Mary Jennings, beloved wife of 41 years to Dr. Michael W. Jennings, and the devoted mother of Dr. Bridget Clare and Dr. Mary Therese Jennings. This is a great expression. I've never heard this before. She lists all her family and everything, but she says, "Family by love and not blood," of Brian Moreland and the Schultz and McHugh families. That's a great way of putting it. Good friends who may not be family, but they're by love they are. Lifelong educator at Mother Macaulay Liberal Arts High School, Margaret Mary Jennings, where she believed in empowering young women to be agents of social justice. She practiced kindness every day to everyone she met. God rest her soul. And Billy, she was waked, and the funeral arrangements were handled by Sheehy, where all the right people go. God rest her soul, Margaret Mary Jennings. I'm sure the Sheehys took great care of her. Okay, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back a little Hooley Town and maybe some music, we'll see, and some jokes. So stick around. This party's just getting rocking. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150. And we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. Thank you.
your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Deep, deep
in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70 when years?
The what? Teeth.
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
Right. And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind, yes. mind, mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome,
crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hoolytown, everybody. Hey, since we got such a great crowd here tonight, one of the things we do in Hoolytown is we do the Who Cares segment. Maybe you guys would like to join in. You may know how it works, but just follow along. Billy, could you please give me a hand with this door? Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Meghan Markle demands proof of royal bullying claims.
Who cares?
Madison LaCroix, Jennifer Lopez, Alexander Rodriguez, what the heck is going on?
Who cares?
Kim Kardashian gets real about challenging year of parenting amid Kanye West divorce.
Who cares?
The talk hiatus extends as Leah Remini accuses Sharon Osbourne of calling Julie Chen wanton and slanty eyes.
Who cares?
Prince Harry has spoken to Prince Charles and Prince William, and it wasn't productive.
Who cares?
Come on! Tiffany Haddish takes an aim at Nicki Minaj. She doesn't treat people with respect and dignity.
Who cares?
Katy Perry wears a dress with a breastfeeding panel on American Idol. Whoa!
Who cares?
Prince Philip, 99, leaves hospital after 28-day stay heart surgery. Yeah!
Who cares?
Meghan Markle suits family defend her amid bullying claims. Find someone else to torment.
Who cares?
And finally, report Meghan Markle is networking with Democrats on potential bid for the United States presidency.
Who cares?
Thank you. Close it up. Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Billy, let me reach up and get that latch at the top there. I get it right there. Ah, got it, got it. Okay. Whew. Boy, that Meghan Markle, ho, don't get me started on that little cupcake. Okay, now, Billy, we are having our old friend, Tim Burns, has just done himself proud with just tons of jokes this week, and they're great. I have almost too many, but here's some little Irish crack and humor jokes. I don't like to think before I speak. I like to be just as surprised as everyone else about what I say. Irish crack and humor. Every woman's dream, her ideal man takes her in his arms, throws her on the bed, and cleans the whole house while she sleeps. Who cares? Irish crack. The brain is the most amazing organ. It works 24 hours a day, 365 days a year from birth until you fall in love. And finally, it doesn't matter how big your house is, how much money you have, or that you wear expensive clothes, our graves will all be the same size, so stay humble. Okay. All right. Okay. Now we're going to get into uncharted territory with some of these jokes. These are from Tim Burns. I want to warn you. Tim Burns is our Emerald Society joke talent scout. Let me just look in for, I want to make sure these are okay for public consumption. A man in Alberta, Canada, woke up one morning to find a bear on his roof. He looked in the yellow pages, and sure enough, there was an ad for Alberta Bear Removers. He called the number, and a man said he'll be over in 30 minutes. The bear remover arrived and got out of his van. And a ladder, a baseball bat, a 12-gauge shotgun, and the mean, heavily scarred old pit bull. Well, what are you going to do, the homeowner asked. I'm going to put this ladder up against the roof, and I'm going to go up there, and I'll knock the bear off the roof with this baseball bat. When the bear falls off the roof, the pit bull is trained to grab his testicles and not let go. The bear will then be subdued enough for me to put him in the cage in the back of the van. The bear remover then handed the shotgun to the homeowner. "What's the shotgun for?" he said. "If the bear knocks me off the roof, shoot the dog." Some of these I can't repeat because they're dirty. Okay, an attractive blonde from Cork, Ireland arrived at the casino. She seemed a little intoxicated and bet 20,000 euros on a single roll of the dice. She said, "I hope you don't mind, but I feel much luckier when I'm completely naked." With that, she stripped from the neck down, rolled the dice, and with an Irish brogue yelled, "Come on, baby, mama needs new clothes." As the dice came to a stop, she jumped up and down and squealed, "Yes, yes, yes, I won. She hugged each of the dealers, then picked up her winnings and her clothes and quickly departed. The dealers stared at each other, dumbfounded. Finally, one of them asked, "Well, what did she roll?" The other answered, "I don't know. I thought you were watching the dice." Moral of the story. Wait a minute. There's a moral. Not all Irish are drunks. Not all blondes are dumb. But all men are men. Okay. Oh, this was a good one. I don't know if I can get away with this. Mick says to Patty, "Close your curtains the next time you're shagging your wife. The whole street was watching and laughing at you yesterday." Patty says, "Well, the joke's on them, stupid bastards, because I wasn't even home yesterday." Okay. Mick goes to the vet with his goldfish. "I think it's got epilepsy," he tells the vet. The vet takes a look and says, "Seems calm enough to me." Mick says, "I haven't taken it out of the bowl yet." Okay. That's a good one. Riley went to trial for armed robbery. The jury foreman came out and announced, "Not guilty." "That's grand," shouted Riley. "Does that mean I can keep the money?" Okay. Murphy told Quinn that his wife is driving him to drink. Quinn thinks very lucky because his own wife makes him walk. Okay. Mrs. Feeney shouted from the kitchen, "Is that you I hear spitting in the vase on the mantelpiece?" "No, but I'm getting closer all the time." Okay. Thank you to Tim Burns for all these. Oh, wait, one more. Slaney phoned the maternity ward at the hospital. "Quick, send me an ambulance. My wife is going to have a baby." "Tell me, is this her first baby?" the intern asked. "No, this is her husband, Kevin, speaking." Okay. What a great night. Thanks, everybody. Next week. Who's next week? Oh, I think next week is very interesting because it's Patty Casey. Yeah, Patty Casey, Commander. Chicago Police Department. So stick around. Come on by. Thank you all. God bless you all. And we'll see you later. Bye. Yeah.